The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the mid-season edition. Cats are 7-4 off the back of beating the Adelaide Crows, who, it's fair to say, they put up a bit of a fight, but they were undermanned and they're young, so the Cats did the business, did what they had to do, won by 7 goals. Kingy, I'm going to start with a question.
Are you going to start with a question? Hello, Benny.
And this won't get edited out.
Right.
Will it? No, it won't, because it's clean as the proverbial whistle. As I was walking in here today, okay, I saw an ambulance whiz by, okay? Right. And I was thinking to myself, if an ambulance is, it had the sirens and everything going, but if an ambulance is going to save someone's life, right, and they run someone over, do they have to stop to help them? Well, do you reckon they would?
Probably.
It'd be a bit of a conundrum, yeah, though, wouldn't it?
No, you would then send somebody else.
But then somebody else who they're supposed to get is then put waiting back of the queue, and they might they might end up in as bit of sort of brown bread action. Yeah. Anyway, Cats and I brown bread, 7-4. Big game tomorrow night, though, Kingy.
Yeah,
against
absolutely.
The 6-5 Dogs, who have been
a bit bipolar
this year, the Dogs.
If you win tomorrow night, you put some separation between yourselves and the Dogs and potentially Collingwood and clubs like that that are in the bottom half of the eight. So then you're all sniffing around there. And so there you take that variable out of the equation in terms of, you know, those keeping the heat on you just for a finals berth. But then if you win too, then you keep your top four hopes alive, because the draw's not too bad for the Cats coming home.
No, it's good. They got what, North again?
Yep.
West Coast twice?
Yep.
There's 12 points.
Yep.
Right there.
12 wins.
No, 12 points.
12 points.
Three wins.
Oh, three wins, sorry.
Yeah. I was going to think, goodness me, my maths was never a strong point, but no, I was wondering where you were going there with
it
that.
It still isn't.
So, and then they've got some other winnable games amongst that lot there.
They'll have the Gold Coast, who'll be out of finals contention in round 22 on the Gold
Coast.
They're
going right, though, the Gold Coast.
Yeah, but by then they won't be.
Probably not. Anyway, it is a favourable draw, but tomorrow night's a big game because they're pretty dangerous at their best, the Bulldogs. I actually thought early on that they were one that could at least have the capacity to match Melbourne, because they have a very deep midfield. Treloar, Bonampelli, McRae, Liberatore, Dunkley. I know Hunter's not playing, but he was in the mix as well, and I reckon I'm missing somebody out of that midfield as well, because there was another one there.
Bailey Smith.
There's seven. They run really, really deep in the midfield. They're a bit thin down back, but Keith's an underrated player.
And so is Gardner.
Yeah, Gardner's improving. And up the other end, they've got Norton.
Yeah. Remember, they're only 11 games removed from playing in the grand final.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've lost.
No, but they've been up and down.
They have been up
and down. They lost to Adelaide at Ballarat.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Yet then they've been solid against, you know, I think they're pretty clinical against Collingwood.
Yep.
So they have been up and down.
They've got a great capacity to kick a score.
Yeah, they have.
And that suits Marvel Stadium when the ball's pinging around.
Yeah, and I just, Geelong too, their midfield is probably, I don't want to say it's their Achilles heel, because that's not right, but it's probably an area of concern.
At Marvel Stadium it is. Certainly.
Yeah, Dangerfield, I don't know if that's good or bad. He's not playing. They seem to be cope pretty well when he's not there. Look, it is. I just wonder through the midfield. Although, in saying that, the Bulldogs midfielders aren't, other than Bailey Smith,
they're not quick.
They're not super quick.
No.
I mean, Bonampelli's probably quicker than you think, but McRae's just an accumulator.
Well, no,
Liberatore's an accumulator.
Bonampelli lopes. Like, he moves quickly because of his height and stuff like that. He just takes big strides, which makes him appear that he's moving very quickly.
The whole big strides. Love a big stride.
Bring your big strides on tomorrow night.
So anyway, look, it's a really interesting game. I mean, you'd think that the Cats have got options for Norton. I wonder whether DeConing goes to him.
Yes, he will.
DeConing. Okay, so DeConing. So that's exciting for the kids. It's exciting for Geelong fans too, because Norton is a... Well, he flies at anything, Norton.
Yep.
He can do some stuff that the lot can't.
He's doing what we hope Shannon Neal's doing in 3 years' time for Geelong.
Yes. Any movement in his contract?
I haven't heard anything.
Has anyone asked a question?
Is
he actually even in talks?
We got wound up before I could ask it last week. That was my next question before we got told that we had to let Shannon go.
What about DeConing?
In terms of contract?
Yeah.
I thought he was contracted.
Yeah, I know, but surely the Geelong are moving furiously too.
Might have had a chat with Andrew Mackey the other day. I did. Yeah. And I did suggest to him that probably it would be worth their while putting a 10-year deal in front of Sam DeConing.
But I wonder whether they've actually done any talks on that.
I'm not sure.
You'd have to think that there would be. You couldn't be that sort of have your head in the sand that think that. And I wonder whether his manager, I reckon his manager would just be playing it cool. This is his third year, so is he probably contracted for next year?
Yep.
And then beyond that, probably not.
Yeah, let's see how he fares in the Rising Star, because now he's got the nomination. He now, all of a sudden, you're in contention. He'll be top five in the Rising Star.
Yeah, but I don't know that. Surely you win the Rising Star, something you're going to ask for a lot more money.
No, I know, but let's see what his form's like over the next 10 weeks.
Geelong hopefully are getting together a contract
and
going to his manager and saying, look, we'd like to shore him up longer term. His manager will say no. But I don't think the Rising Star is here nor there in terms of...
Doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt, but you're not going to win the Rising Star suddenly you're worth another 200 grand a year.
No.
It's. I mean, that's got to get factored in.
Well, the thing
he's going to be up there, it's irrespective of whether he wins the Rising Star or not. Every award in the AFL is centred around someone who gets the ball a lot. So even if he doesn't win it, Geelong have to put a premium on how good he's going to be. So I think it's absolutely irrelevant.
The thing they'll factor in is you hope Geelong are playing finals. He gets to play a couple of finals. Let's see how he performs with a bit of heat
I'm sure he will. I mean, he's going to have some... He's been extraordinary.
Yeah. For somebody who's, 11 games in?
I don't think, if you looked back, I mean, his first 11 games would be the best of any key position player.
Geelong.
Harry Taylor.
Yep.
Matthew Egan.
Scarlett.
Scarlett. I mean, Scarlett took a couple of years to develop.
Yeah.
I think he had six kicked on him in his first game.
Matty Lloyd.
It's been quite extraordinary. I was talking to someone last night who suggested that, you know, and... He wasn't saying it tongue-in-cheek. He was sort of suggesting that it was legitimate, that, you know, you could play him on the wing. Mm. He's quick.
Yep.
He's quicker than you think. He just doesn't look like he's quick. But even that spoil he did last week when he got his arm across.
The left arm, yep.
Yeah. He made Grant to do that. So, and they weren't putting beyond the ruck on him, this person who's involved at the club. I just think he's way too valuable as a key defender to put in the ruck.
Yep. Yeah, you can build your defence around Sam DeConing for the next decade.
Yeah. So anyway, look, it's exciting. And
well, with DeConing and Henry, because Henry's still only 22, 23.
Yeah.
You know, so you have him, DeConing, down back for a while. All of a sudden, Zach Guthrie looks very comfortable in that sort of third role as a 24-year-old.
Yeah, he does. He's playing okay. I wouldn't be penciling him just yet as an established player.
But if he can pull out a
he has
good
he has improved
him.
Though I'll give him that.
Yeah, that does come up in our questions, Benny.
I saw it. So I've actually said that he's improved. Mm. Someone having a go,
maybe.
Well, I've actually said that he's improved, and he's one of those players that probably has just needed time, and his body's physically capable now of matching it. So I don't know where old mate was going with that, but anyway.
Mm.
So. But I don't know that yet. You just have him in as. I mean, if you think Jed, remember people used to jump on Jed Buse. Oh, he's no good. We've got to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's played 140 games.
And who was his biggest fan?
You.
Yeah. Mm. I said, just give him a bit of time.
Yep.
He just needs to get to that 70, 80 games. And look at him now. He's no star, but he's a very important player for Geelong.
Yeah.
So I just play it. Oh. Collard Jasny's the same.
Yep.
People want to get rid of him because he cocks up a few kicks.
Yep.
Well, yeah, okay. And he might have had four or five down weeks. Do you remember Jacob Wiedering? He had a whole damn year.
Yeah, his second year was horrendous.
Oh, absolutely horrific.
Yeah.
You just got to, I don't know, I think, whereas I reference somebody like a Jordan Murdoch, was still making the same mistakes at his 100th game as he was in his first.
Yep.
That's the difference. Collard Jasny, I think, with DeConing coming in and being a key back and playing quite well and at the moment being seemingly capable of playing on the best defender, of best forward, I should say, and not getting his pants pulled down, I reckon it opens the door for Kyle Jasny to be your second key defender.
Yep.
Just your caravan bloke. The bloke you want to put on someone to lock him down. He doesn't have to touch the ball. Just lock him down. That's his go. And then you have Mark Blitzarves in the ruck. Now, I've been an advocate of not playing Mark Blitzarves in the ruck simply because we didn't have a Sam DeConing in the back line.
Yep.
But now we have. He's the best option in the ruck.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Stanley's out. And... I just think that's now is the mix because you look at, and people say, oh, Collard Jasny's not tall. He's 193, certainly tall enough to match a lot of the
yep.
second forwards.
So your darlings and
he's
people
strong,
like that.
Yeah, Riewoldt, And he's done well on those guys. So I'd be going with that mix, and I think it's definitive now that our best mix is with Mark Blitzov playing in the ruck. Right. So Stanley back this week?
Yes. Yeah, he should play. Stanley and Rowan.
So my point would be then, so Blitzov's what plays where wing and ruck? Because there's no one really for him to play on.
Down
if Deconi goes to Norton, no. They don't have...
They're not overly big.
They might play Zane Cordy down there. He's the perfect match for college, hasn't he? So they don't have anyone for him to typically play on. So that means then... I think that's then part of the problem because you're trying to put two ruckmen into the one. You've got to play Blitzov's out of position. I don't like him when he plays a midfielder.
Yeah, okay. So if... So Neil came in for Rowan last week, but do you stick with Neil and not bring Stanley back?
Oh, well, if they're going to do that, yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But if Neil comes out, you probably have to put Stanley in.
Why?
Because then Stanley then probably spends a bit of time forward and plays that hit-up role that the Cats had lacked with Radicalea.
Leave Neil in then if you're going to do that. No, if you're going to play Stanley up forward,
leave Neil in. Yeah. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
get another game into Neil.
Yeah, no, I'd be 100. I wouldn't want to be bringing in Stanley at the expense of Neil and then playing Stanley predominantly as like your sort of third, the old spare dick forward. No, leave Neil in if you're going to do that.
All right. Zane Williams is a player that the Cats fans will need to get to know because he's the latest addition coming in the mid-season draft, pick 12 last night. Woodville West Torrens, which is the same club Tyson Stengel.
Yep.
Was that?
Small forward, Kingy.
Small forward.
Did your eyebrows go up a little bit?
Yeah, I was surprised. If I was Francis Evans, I would have looked around and gone, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't... Has this kid been absolutely knocking it out of the park in the Sandful?
15 goals, 8 games. Played in the South Australian team, or the Sandful team that played the Waffle in the state game about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
So he's top echelon of the Sandful.
Right. So can I give you... So who's our... Woodville West Torrens correspondent.
Daniel Menzel,
who I might have got in touch with and maybe just shot a message to and asked for the thoughts of, and just hitting my KFC text message. Really good kid, wants to learn and improve, got some X factor too.
Oh, I got a bit of X factor.
No, you don't. Settle down.
Well, he did say to me, I said the same thing. He said the similar thing about Stengel,
that
he was a good player. He had a few...
Oh, I think we knew Stengel was a good player. Mm. I think we already knew that when he was at Richmond and Adelaide that he had some tricks.
Mm. He's been good, hasn't he?
Oh.
Wow.
All Australian? Squad?
Fringe, maybe?
Fringe on the squad?
Yeah, not. I wouldn't say definitely.
So what's he, 22 goals from 10 games? 21 goals from 10 games? Yeah, 11 games.
He's running about 2 a game.
Yeah, so he's missed a play every game. So that's good. If somebody good had said Tyson Stengel is going to kick you 40 goals in the home and away season, and then you throw in that you think that you're going to get 50-odd from Hawkins and Cameron, if you're getting 150 goals from those three combined, it's not a bad result. And they're already at, I think they're at about 90 combined for the year, 85 combined for the year.
Yeah.
That's a great return. So not everything works out as you plan. But if you double that, you get 170 goals from your three main goal kickers.
Yeah, that'd be a very good return.
Yeah.
That's got to push you near the top four.
I would have thought.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
I just thought it was a little bit odd that they do seem to have a plethora of, smaller forwards and they go and get another one.
Luke Dalhouse gone at the end of the year.
Unless they just clearly thought that he was the best player available.
Yeah, see.
And there was no... They need somebody else in a position, but there wasn't anybody even... on the radar to take for that position. So they thought, let's get this kid before somebody else does next year.
Yeah, well, the other thing is too, you can get him in and have a look at him for 3 months. You don't have to keep him beyond this year.
No.
Geelong might be gone in the second week of September, and so is Zane Williams back to Woodville West Torrens.
Interesting to see how he goes, doesn't it? Because we always sort of, the standard of the leagues, you know, we talk about them always, the Sandful anywhere near the VFL.
That's
what I'm saying. It'd be interesting to see how he goes in the VFL,
given
that he's been one of the better players in the Sandful if he's getting a game in their state.
It'd be interesting to see whether they roll him straight out tomorrow in the VFL game.
Well, if he's fit, why not?
Yeah.
Is him out there?
Shane O'Bree's going to join us post VFL game. So we'll be able to ask Cheese.
The old cheese ball.
About Zane Williams. So Toby Conway put in another cracker against an AFL standard ruckman last week. He's not playing AFL this week or next.
No.
Well, he's definitely playing next because he got the bye, but I think we'll see him by the end of the year.
Yeah. I don't know about that. There's the person I spoke to last night also told me that, and I did mention old Deborah's son.
Yep.
And he said that He has quite a few areas, as you would expect a kid, has quite a few areas of his game that he needs to work
on.
He's
only 19.
Yep. Marking is one of them.
Yep.
Oh, he didn't say it wasn't his strong, but he said that's an area he needs to work on.
Yep.
He said his ruck work is very good.
Yeah.
His actual ruck.
His craft.
Craft is very good. But he said the club was very mindful that he is 19 and mentally and physically throwing him to the wolves. They want to ensure that he's physically capable of standing up. So I don't know that they will play him this year at the AFL level.
And that won't matter because when we're talking hopefully about him being a 200-odd game player for the club in 10 years' time, we won't remember or care that he didn't play in his first year.
No. And don't, I just said this, don't, wow, we just need to relax. He's, how many centimetres is he?
206.
Yeah, let's just, I'd be staggered if he played this year. I'd be nearly staggered if he only played one or two games next year.
Yep.
I think they're very, very, very mindful of breaking him down.
Yep.
And
well, his first pre-season resulted in a hip issue.
Yes.
That cost him eight
so
games.
So they're playing, and he's a developing player. He's not a player that's going to come in and have any impact over the next two or three years in terms of the direction of the club or where they finish. Allow him the two or three years to build himself up physically.
Yep.
Exactly the same thing happens with horses. You build them up. You don't just, some horses are capable of running early, some aren't. And if you try and push the ones that aren't, you won't end up with a horse at the end of the day. And exactly the same thing will happen with Conway. So I don't reckon, my feeling is that he won't be played this year, even if they were tempted to do it.
Let's have a look at
some... In fact, I reckon he'd be managed at a lot of VFL games.
Yep. Well, the way the VFL season runs, they actually...
They manage it for him, the club.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So the Cats have played eight. They'll play 18, and you think they'll play finals, so you would suspect that they get a bye next week.
Yep.
Then they've got a block of four or five, then a bye, then a block of four, I think how it works. So, you know, like... Maybe one of the next bye they might give him, say, hey, may have two off and come back. So it does work out pretty well that for the Cats in that regard with their younger blokes,
which is good.
All right, questions. Well, this is about Toby Conway. In defence of Conway, was considered the best ruckman in his draft. Surprised he slid to pick 24, showing good signs two games in. Rucked versus Pruce and Flynn, 16 hitouts, 20 possessions is pretty handy in game two. Absolutely no rush to get him into the senior side, however. Also, a shout out to the VFL program. Bugger all AFL listed guys, and we continue to perform well.
Yeah, well, that's a good call. I mean, the thing is, they are playing more physically mature GFL players.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yep.
They're not playing kids out of the GFL. They're playing the better GFL players.
Oh, no, there's some younger blokes in there.
There's
some 19, 20-year-olds in there as well. Yeah, that are going okay.
Oh, good.
There's a kid called Jai Chalcraft that's second year at the Cats out of Shepparton who goes real good.
Is he? Yeah. Is that a real, like an Angus Armanasco go, this thing goes good?
Yeah.
Shit, boss. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll look forward to seeing a bit of Shawlcraft's work.
Howler 41. Really concerned about our midfield versus the Dogs. Dogs' key defenders, their weakness. If we can get 35 to 40 inside 50s, we should be able to kick a score, but struggled versus the Chromies mids who won on the same levels as the Dogs.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I was just thinking about it before when we were talking. I mean, the obvious choice is that Keith goes to Hawkins and then Gardner goes to... I'm just thinking of the extra long defenders who have gone elsewhere. Gardner goes to Cameron. I'd like to fancy him a chance if he gave Jeremy Cameron a few one-on-ones against Gardner that he'd be able to get the better of him.
Yep.
I reckon that's a really good call. If they can... I mean, it's the same as any game. If you get quick ball movement into Hawkins and Cameron, they're going to win you enough to give you a chance.
Yep.
So, and particularly when, you know... I think Keith's underrated, though. He's a good player, Keith, and he's built to tackle Hawkins. I reckon Cameron, the one that hopefully can get off the old chain. Although they do have Cordy. I still fancy him a chance with Cameron against Cordy.
Cat to the future. Gentlemen, I put it to you, our biggest risk going into this match is getting smashed at the stoppage. If so, would you be seeking to replicate any of the Tigers' 2018-19 midfield work where, above all else, they sought to pressure the exit from the stoppage, seeking only to reduce the precision and speed of entries so a Grimes type could intercept? Do we have the capacity to chase and pressure their mids enough for DeConing, Stewart, and dare I say even Zach Guthrie to intercept and catch them on the rebound?
Wow, geez,
there's a lot to dissect there. Blocking the air exits because when McRae gets out of a stoppage, watch out.
Well, he doesn't run anywhere, but he's pretty lethal.
Yes,
he's slower than a bloody...
But yeah, Bellman, that's what I mean. Watch out, because he's going to hit a target.
Than a one-shelled snail.
Yeah.
But he can hit a target. Bonapelli's the one he handballs it to, and he's gone. Yep. Bailey Smith's the other one.
Yep.
I mean, you got to do that against anybody.
Yep.
And
yeah, some hurt you more than others, though.
If there's not a strong suit of the Cats, it's probably around stoppages. Mm. So they'd want to be on their game tomorrow night because, you know, they'll get their pants pulled down if they're not. So they need to be set up well and, you know who's where. And it didn't happen against St Kilda. It's happened the last 2 weeks better. Albeit, I don't know that last week was a great guide. They're not Adelaide are just a very young team developing, so I don't know if you could sort of take too much into that. But yeah, they've got to find a way.
They still had the likes of Crouch, yeah. Laird,
two players
loitering with intent,
and then the rest of them are all kids.
Yeah. Daz Broncos lads, great call on the weekend. Will this one be a K Rock Hub style arrangement, or will it be the K Rock Rex Gorrell Nealty driven Subi chariot ripping up the highway? No, we're up the highway, up to Marvel. A little bit of dissent in the Dons game from Parrish on the weekend. Being an ex Falcon in a midfield void of 22 to 26 year old players, would he be a player the management team would be looking at?
I hope not. Tanner Bruin's the one I'd be like to have a look at.
Yes, in the same vein of thought, he's actually mentioned that Bruin or Hopper from GWS.
Yep, Tanner Bruin,
yep.
Local kid.
Yep.
Got a bit of zip.
Yep.
I'm hoping that the Cats are maybe having a crack there.
Yep.
He's out of contract, isn't he?
He is.
Hasn't signed.
No.
I don't think the face of his entourage when he was drafted by GWS would tell you that he wasn't exactly over the moon about heading to GWS.
I'm not accounting for the contract status or trade cost, as you'll spend 37 minutes on this question alone, and Curse High don't pay that much for naming rights. They pay enough. They pay enough. Thank you to Jared and the team. It's Jared, by the way.
Ben. Yeah, I know. And he's old Uncle Jason. But, yeah, look, they're just all over it. They'll be up and about tomorrow night, I reckon.
They will be.
Jared will be there for sure at Marvel.
Big Cats fans.
Do you know, Kingy?
Do I know what?
Someone posed this question to me, and it was a humorous question. I thought it was quite humorous. They said to me, in Gilligan's Island, right, the professor, right, he made a radio out of coconuts.
All right.
Yeah. But nobody could just fix a little hole in the boat. Do you think there's some irony there?
There is some irony there.
Was he too busy, the professor and
Marianne? Yes.
Would you have preferred Marianne, or what was the other one's name?
I don't know. The Cat Attack podcast off Twitter, the KFC Twitter. Daz Broncos, what is the correct cooking time for popcorn in open flames?
Oh, wow. Well, not sure. Not sure about that.
That's a throwback to Benny's.
The old popcorn.
From a couple of
years. Yeah, there'd be some cereal. You wouldn't want too much heat for your popcorn to be going ballistic.
The sex therapist joke will be told in the last edition of the year.
Oh, come on.
Just as I'm about to get on a plane stateside and don't have to deal with it.
That's bollocks.
Adrian Mancini. King and Cass, do you think the move of Tom Atkins to the midfield is permanent? He's added something in there. Seems as though O'Connor is better behind the ball. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Tommy Atkins in there a bit more.
Well, I was thinking about this because I did see that on Twitter. A lot of those Irish players, because they don't grow up with the game, they better behind the ball, like Ty Kennelly.
Zach Tui. Although Tui's developed his game to be a good offensive.
Yeah, but he never plays in the midfield.
No.
He's always a wing or,
yep.
Yeah. So they don't, yeah. So I think they're better, and O'Connor certainly is one that's learning the game still. So I think he's better in defence where somebody takes him to the ball. It's always, and we mentioned that point with maybe with Radigalia doing the same. Blitzarves had helped him. So I think he's right. And I think the other thing I like about Atkins in the midfield is that he is potentially a bit of a defence first type player. So he's a bit of a counterbalance to the offensive stuff of Selwood, Dangerfield.
Cam Guthrie.
Yeah. So he counters them.
Parfitt.
Well, Parfitt's quite a good tackler. He's a bit more defensive. But, yeah, I think he creates a good balance.
Yeah.
And he's very coachable. So you give him a role. I'm not saying some of those others. Sometimes stars aren't that coachable. They do their own thing, and that's why they're stars.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine telling Dusty to do too much. He'd just roll his eyes and say, well, I'm going to go and do this and get lost there. They're like,
and I'll get three Brownlow medal votes.
Yeah, but you got to have other guys who are willing workers who think team first. And I'm not saying the Stars don't think team first, but they're offensive for a reason. He counters that, and I reckon that's not a bad move.
Dave Twist, I know it's not Benny's go, but Chris Scott on for another 2 years. The mayor of Geelong, that must be Cameron Ling, has said don't need to rebuild a goat by going down. Since Geelong have a bit of cash thanks to Simon Wild racing at the Bull, do they chase Nick Nat, DeGoey, Crouch, McCluggage, try to grab one or two?
No. I don't know. Well, are any of those guys up? They'd have to pay DeGoey a fortune.
DeGoey's up, I believe.
No. They wouldn't be going there, no. Surely. McCluggage is a gun.
I'd like McCluggage.
Is he out of contract too, is he?
I think he's, yes.
Yeah, he's out of... Well, I mean, you'd like to get him, yeah. He's a very good player.
Not Crouch.
No, not Matt Crouch. No. He's slow.
He got mentioned last week too.
Yeah, no.
We wouldn't be
trying to get him, I wouldn't have thought. I've said this 1,000 times. The flag winners of recent times have all been underpinned by top draft picks. Yep. Sometimes there is a bit of instability in your stability.
Yep.
So Geelong are stable?
Yep.
Yes. Have they won a premiership? No. Do you reckon they'll win a premiership this year?
No.
Do you reckon they'll win it next year?
No.
There you go.
I think we should have a Richmond Hawthorn special. We haven't heard enough. This is Derek's data. I'm not sure what he's getting at there. But
Richmond Hawthorn.
A Richmond Hawthorn special. Not sure. Anyway, thanks, Derek Starter. I hope you're listening, and we don't know what you're talking about. Culture. When Gary Rowan is healthy, does he make the team, and whose spot does he take?
Who?
Gary Rowan.
Really going.
He takes Francis Evans' spot.
Probably. It's a bit of a concern, though. He missed all that footy and then played one game, then couldn't play the following week.
Hamstring tightness.
Oh, yeah.
I still think he's in their best 25.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The Hoops show, is Sam DeConing already Geelong's second best defender? Rein it in.
Yeah.
There's a bloke called Jack Henry that goes all right.
The thing is, though, that you've got to put a premium on the taller blokes.
Yep.
But he's playing a different role to Henry. He's Geelong's best key defender.
Is Benny changing his opinion regarding Zach Guthrie? This is Teddy G.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've said this year that he's improved and that, you know, he's finding his feet. So I don't know if you're inferring that I've been down on Zach Guthrie. I've only been as down as the next bloke when he was coming through. And I reckon I've been quite positive about Zach Guthrie. He's playing pretty solid sort of footy.
Sean Jervies, with so many players coming back after the bye, who is the unlucky players to miss out? This is a very good question. So we'll get back after the break. Dangerfield?
Yeah.
Well, he's in your best side.
Yeah. He needs to London Fog.
Yeah, but he's in your best side.
Did Cam Mooney have a bit of a crack at him?
Oh, I've no idea.
In an article?
Not sure.
Might have dirtied up a bit, I think, the 35.
Did he?
Yeah.
With the 21?
Yeah.
Really? No, I wasn't aware of this. Jack Henry is.
Yeah, he certainly is, yeah.
Who else is doing to come back? We've got to work out what the ruck situation looks
like.
There's
no one to come back there.
Well, Segler?
No.
So you're not playing him?
No.
Right. Menegola?
You're playing me. Yeah, well, you're a big fan. I'm jury's out whether he's in their best team.
Radigalia?
Jury's out. Probably not.
Okay, so let's say Henry comes.
There's no one to come. Not many to come back.
Well, Henry.
It's two.
So you only think Henry in Dangerfield?
Walk-ups.
Yeah.
100%.
Higgins?
No. There's two players to come back in. He's not meant to drop out there.
Okay.
So
is Collard Jasny the one that could get squeezed out of the back line, or does Zach Guthrie go first?
Zach Guthrie goes first. Collard Jasny
depends on matchups, doesn't it?
No. Collard Jasny's got more runs on the board. He's taller, stronger, and can play complete lockdown role. Zach Guthrie plays more up the field a bit, half back. I wouldn't. If you drop Collard Jasny out, you got to put Blitzars in defence.
Led McBain, why do you think we chose another small forward instead of a back where we seem to be more light on in the mid-season
draft? I said before, I think that there was obviously clearly not a defender that they thought was worthy of taking.
No.
They obviously think that this kid's got something and that somebody's probably going to pick him up in the draft in a few months' time. So they jump in now and grab him.
Yep. When does the forward sponsor?
Is Gary Rowan out of contract?
Yeah. Good question. Yes, he only had a one-year deal.
So he might be gone. Dalhouse is gone.
Yep.
So there's two.
Yep.
There's
Higgins.
Higgins will be gone at the end of this year.
Even though when we asked him about that,
he knows.
Yeah.
I'd say he'd be gone. Yeah, for sure. So there's three players gone.
But do you know what? 12 months ago, we were saying Reece Stanley was gone and he got another 2-year deal.
Yeah, well, if Reece Stanley wasn't 200 centimetres, he would have been.
Yeah. But if he wasn't 200 centimetres, would he have played 160-odd games of league footy either? When does the Ford sponsorship deal run out? This is from Ben at the Cattery. It's been answered by a few, but it is 2025.
Few years of Ford.
Powered by Ford. That takes it to 100 years.
100 years of sponsorship? Yeah. Wow, is that the longest running sponsorship in world sport?
It is. Yep. Unbelievable. Yes, ever since they put the Ford factory out there in 1925. Matt Strickland, can they go all the way in 2022? No.
Oh, I don't think they can.
No. I'm happy to sit here in 4 months' time and be eating the humblest of pie, but I don't think so.
Have you ever eaten the humble pie?
Yeah, a couple of times.
In a booger.
What?
Booger.
What?
Of Revenge of the Nerds, booger.
Yeah. Why do we?
Do you
keep...
know what?
No. David Scott. Why do we keep playing Stanley as our number one ruckman? Time to move past him, isn't it?
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. All right. With the advent of De Koning as a bona fide key defender, yeah, I think he can.
This is the toughest question that has ever been posed to the Cat Attack podcast off the KFC Twitter. Cat Attack podcast for Curse High, by the way. The two Garys. Let us know who would you pick from these comparisons from the 80s and 90s versus today. Buddha versus Joel Selwood.
Selwood.
Ken Hinckley versus Andrew Mackie.
Mackie.
Couch, Jimmy Bartel.
Jeez.
Bartel.
I'll be a nil or draw there.
Brownless and Mooney.
Brownless.
Stoneham and Blitzarves.
Ooh.
Stoneham
was an absolute gun. I'd take Stoneham.
And we didn't get...
He was an athletic freak until he broke his leg.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he was an absolute... He was before his time in terms of his athletic ability.
They talk about Barry Stoneham, and I know I'm going a little bit off topic here, but they talk about his GDFL debut for St. Joseph's in 1984.
Why are you laughing, Tom?
Because you're being inappropriate.
Do you know what his nickname was?
I have no idea.
Don't you don't know?
No, I've got no idea.
And this is true. There's still people down... He's a member down at Barn Heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, his nickname... This doesn't appear on the timesheet. But his nickname...
Can this be... Horse?
Is Donkey.
Donkey. Why? Because he moved like a donkey.
He kicked like a mule. No, his nickname is Donkey.
Yes. Yeah, he was
big donkey.
Yeah, Stoneham. If you didn't see Barry Stoneham at his best,
I'm glad.
Yeah, you're an idiot. You are a dead set imbecile. Anyway,
is that it?
That's it.
Right, now this has been quality sort of stuff. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night. The Cats are. It's a bit of a. Not a fork in the road game, but it's a really interesting game for them. They've got they're up against an opponent that's, you know, sort of fighting for its final survival as well. It's had a pretty, what they would probably classify as a pretty average start to the year, the Bulldogs. Mm. Been very up and down. They do, as you mentioned, play this ground well. Geelong traditionally probably don't. They've got a very good midfield. If you're putting it down on paper, Geelong probably have the ascendancy in defence and up forward. It's how Geelong's midfield goes that'll decide the game.
Where most games usually...
One in the midfield. Yeah. So if Geelong's midfield has a solid day, I'd like to think the Cats can win. But their midfield, when they've lost, has probably been their Achilles heel this year, the Cats.
Kerr's Hire. Local for 40 years.